Well, we are continuing today our journey through the Ten Commandments, which cover a remarkable amount of territory. And this commandment that we're looking at today, honor your father and mother, has been rightly interpreted over the centuries as not being just about parent and child relations, but really about our relationship to all rightful authority. Although I will say, in Ephesians chapter 6, which Bill just read, the Apostle Paul quotes the fifth commandment. He says, children, obey your parents as in the Lord. And then he goes on. And there's a few things. There's a small list of things that I'm going to take up with the Apostle Paul someday in eternity when I get to meet him. And this is going to be one of them. He goes on to say, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And that's really backwards. It should say, children, do not provoke your father to anger. It just seems common sense to me. And anyway, so I'm going to read Exodus 20, and as has been our practice, I'm going to read the preamble, verses 1 and 2, and then skip to verse 12, the fifth commandment. Hear now the word of God. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Oh God, your word is truth. Send your Holy Spirit now and write your word within us so that we might be transformed and shaped to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, remember that the Ten Commandments are divided into two parts. The first four commandments are about the honor that is due to God. The first four are about our relationship with God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any kind of an image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And you shall remember the Sabbath day, a special day to focus on God, on your relationship with God. So the first four are all about our relationship with God. And then the final six are all about our relationships with one another. And remember that Jesus said, when he was asked what's the greatest commandment, he said, the first and greatest is this, you shall love the Lord your God, heart, mind, and strength. And then he said, the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two commandments, all the law and the prophets are suspended. So you can see that the Ten Commandments are divided exactly the same way that the priority of commandments that Jesus gave, even though he didn't specifically cite one of the ten. Love God, love neighbor. And that's what the Ten Commandments are all about. And isn't it, I think it's telling that the very first commandment, the fifth commandment, is the first commandment about our relations with one another, and it's about the very first relationship you had with your mother and your father. And Deuteronomy 5, and you'll remember there's two versions, presentations of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Exodus 20, and then Deuteronomy chapter 5. Well, the one in Deuteronomy 5 unpacks it a little bit more. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And remember, all the commandments are given in advance of the people coming into the promised land, and how their relationships are going to be governed, not only when they're in the wilderness, but eventually when they reach the land that God has promised them. And then once again, Paul quotes this in Ephesians 6:2, and Paul points out this is the first commandment that has an explicit promise that you'll be blessed if you obey. And there's two elements in the promise. First of all, and once again, this is Deuteronomy 5:16. First of all, it says that your days may be long. You'll have long life. Second, it will go well with you in the land. In other words, as a nation, as a people, it's going to go well with you if you honor father and mother. So it's not only about this commandment, not only about individuals, but about society and the way we relate with one another. So, what does honor mean? The commandment to honor father and mother does not mean that you have to enjoy going on camping trips with mom and dad. It does not mean that you have to just be dizzy with excitement over every family gathering. In fact, good family relationships and the bond of love in families is a good thing, a wonderful thing that I would pray for every one of us. But really, that's not what this commandment is about. The commandment is honor your father and your mother. The Hebrew word is kabod, and it has the sense of, and by the way, the Hebrew language, very interesting language. The meaning of words is always very concrete. And in kabod means literally, it has to do with weightiness. Weigh them heavy. There are scales in your life, right? And you're deciding what to do about something. And what do mom and dad think? You weigh them heavy. You take them seriously. It has more to do, I would say that this word has more to do, don't think of taking mom out to brunch on Mother's Day or the barbecue with dad on Father's Day. Think of life in the military. Now, I've never been in the military, but I understand that there's this authority structure thing. And when somebody's over you, you weigh them heavy, depending on the insignia on their sleeve, right? Many years ago when Charlotte and I lived in Vacaville, California, and I was serving as an associate pastor there, we were right by Travis Air Force Base. And they had an annual air show, which I've always been an airplane buff and love going to air shows. Well, anyway, one year there was a fella in our church. He happened to be a full bird colonel, which didn't mean that much to me. I mean, he was one more church member, but he invited me to go to the air show with him. And he said, "Phil, why don't you come to the air show with me, and I'll show you around the base." He says, I can get you into places where you wouldn't be able to get otherwise. And let me tell you, walking around the airbase with him was a very different experience. They weighed him heavy. Everywhere he went, people snapped to attention. And everywhere he went, he got exactly what he wanted. And everyone deferred to, okay, this is what it means to honor father and mother. You give them great weight in your life. Once again, it does not mean there must be feelings of love. Now, if there is, we would pray there is love between parent and child. Feelings of affection from memories and laughter and the joy of being together. But none of these things is required for honor. But also, I would say genuine honor cannot be given under compulsion. It cannot be forced. People who have been victimized by a parent's rejection or abuse or neglect may not be emotionally free to give that honor that is due. But when God works a healing in your life, when God does a work in your heart so that you, perhaps you had a very difficult relationship with a parent, God will do a work in your heart and you can honor them regardless of feelings toward them. There is a kind of honor that is due even to parents that don't deserve it. So this commandment of God is not just for children. It is for children. But it's also, and I think even primarily, for free adults who can freely give the honor that God calls us to give, whether our parents are living or not. Now more, we'll get to that in a few minutes. But the promise, let's look first at the promise of blessing attached to the commandment. Once again, it has two parts. First of all, that your days may be long. Now in Hebrew thinking, the idea that your days will be long is not just about length of life. It's not just about living many years. It's about quality of life, that your honor your father and mother, that your life will be full, that your life will be blessed. It has more to do with quality than quantity. Remember that when Abraham died, the book of Genesis says of him, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people, full of years. He lived a life of adventure and risk and fulfillment and relationship and blessing. So the first half of the promise of the fifth commandment speaks to personal fulfillment. The second part of the promise also speaks to fulfillment, but this time it's for the nation as a whole. It says that it may, the promise is that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honoring parents, brothers and sisters, honoring parents is our first school of submission to authority. And society cannot function without submission to authority, to rightful authority. Now, obviously, there's times when as Christians we must stand and say, no, we will not. There's even a rightful authority misused. Now, remember that when Peter, in the book of Acts, when Peter stood before the Sanhedrin, the highest authority in Israel, and he refused to stop preaching the gospel, as he was commanded by this this rightful authority that was being misused. And Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. So there are, our ultimate authority is always God. But obedience to parents is the first school of authority in which we learn submission to rightful authority, apart from which society cannot function. Well, there was something I'm hesitating about going somewhere, but I'm going to go there. There's been a number, and obviously it's been so much in the news, some tragic incidents of people either killed or seriously harmed by police after an altercation. And obviously this is fraught with, it's a very complex issue. But there's been much turmoil in our nation. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, one of the direct applications of this commandment is when a police officer tells you to do something, you do it. You do it now. There is a rightful authority that has been placed over us, and we are to submit to that authority. The first school of submission to authority is our parents, our family in which we grow up, where we learn to cooperate with each other. We honor father and mother, and as we honor authority, we are contributing to the greater good. Now, it's important to notice that the commandment is directed to children, not parents. Now, the Lord might have said, parents, honor your children. Treat them right. Love them. And that's certainly a good thing. But that's not the commandment. The Lord didn't say that, and there's a reason. Did you notice that you didn't get to choose your parents? You just got them. You may have been raised in a home where respect came easily, or perhaps you were raised in a conflicted or troubled home where respect was difficult. Either way, the commandment tells us that even though we can't choose our parents, we are to honor them. In fact, I would say that part of what this commandment says is that you cannot be a spiritually healthy, balanced, mature adult until you've learned to be rightly related to authority. The most miserable people in the world, the most miserable people in the world are those who go through life resisting and resenting and fighting against authority. People who cannot accept authority can never be at rest or fulfilled. And our relationship with mother and father is the first school of authority. Now, we also have to acknowledge, and this is why every situation is different, we must acknowledge that a child who is dominated in a harmful way by authority figures, and particularly if a child has been dominated in a harmful way by parents or a parent, that child will grow up as a wounded and fearful and resentful person. And that's why understanding and mercy needs to be extended. But fulfillment comes from being in proper relationship with authority, whether it's in your workplace or your family or your neighborhood homeowners association. Fulfillment comes from proper relationship with authority. Obeying this commandment is part of building up an emotionally and spiritually whole people who can then relate in a constructive way to the rest of the world. Okay, now, you may say, Phil, all this is very wonderful, but my parents are no longer living. Well, guess what? You can still honor your parents. Both of my parents have been in heaven for a long time. My mom died close to 15 years ago, my dad over 10 years ago. I am still called to honor my father and my mother. I am still called to live in such a way that their memory is honored. My life still reflects on them as my mom and dad. And so I'm called to live in such a way that their memory is honored. And this is going to be an aside to the sermon, so I'm going to step away from the pulpit. Maybe not just their memory is honored by the way I live today. Maybe they are. There are some hints in the Bible, just hints. And this is where, I don't know 100% for sure, but there are some hints in the Bible that people who are with the Lord now, people who are on the other side and have entered into eternity and are with Jesus, there are hints in the Bible that they see more of us than we see of them. Remember that Jesus said, there is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. Well, how do they know? Remember that the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and speaking of those who have gone on before who are in heaven, Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us run with perseverance. Let me back up. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those who have gone on before, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us put aside every weight and sin that clings so close and run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now, did you follow the image there? It's like we're running our race in a stadium, and those who have gone on before are in the stands watching us, cheering us on. Do my mom and dad see me? Well, if they do, I hope I make them proud. Now, I don't know. I'm going to step back into the pulpit now because I'm not 100% sure. But I know this, that you are still called to honor your parents, whether they are living or not. Another way you can honor your parents if they're no longer living is to have and maintain good relationships with your siblings. Now, sometimes that can be really hard. I know it. But we honor our parents when we maintain good relationships with our siblings that our parents raised us along with. We may be separated by many miles, but it honors your parents when you continue to nurture the bonds that they nurtured with your living siblings. Another way that I can honor my father and my mother, and that you can too, I honor my father and my mother in the way that I relate to my own son and his wife and our new grandson. an image that was given to me many years ago that meant a lot to me over the years, that as long as your parents are alive, they are like an emotional and spiritual umbrella over you. Even if you're separated by many miles and you're no longer dependent on them, but emotionally they are an umbrella over you, right? And that's why when your parents, I know I certainly had this feeling when my dad died. My mom went to heaven first, and then about 5 years later, my dad. And when my dad died, it was just this feeling of being exposed, orphaned. And the umbrella was taken away from me, my umbrella of protection. But there's a calling on me now. Charla and I are the umbrella over the next generation. And I honor my mom and dad when I am faithful to that role of being an umbrella of spiritual and emotional protection over my son and daughter-in-law and their little one. I also honor my father and my mother in the way that I submit to authorities that are over me today. The Westminster Larger Catechism, by the way, has a wonderful way of unpacking the commandments. And as we move through the commandments in the coming weeks, I'll be sharing more with you from the catechism, because it really, in a wise way, unpacks many of the implications. But listen to what the Westminster Larger Catechism says about the commandment to honor father and mother. This is question 124. What are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? And the answer is, by father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. Isn't that great? All who are over me in age, rightful authority that's over me in the church, our session, our elders govern our church, including me. I'm also under the authority of the Presbytery of the Pacific Northwest. You are under authority. Now, I can't tell you exactly what it is, but the Catechism wisely says, all authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. Well, yeah, I can tell you what it is. If you're a member of this church, you're under the authority of the session. You're under the authority of our elders, under their spiritual authority. And you're under the authority of government, our commonwealth. Now, the modern world, let's face it, the modern world has a real problem with authority. The modern world has made a virtue of rebellion against authority. But really, it's not just the modern world. It goes all the way back to the beginning. It goes all the way back to the garden when Satan told Adam and Eve that they didn't need to submit to God's word. They didn't need to submit to God's authority. They could be a little god and goddess to themselves. There's an incident, and this is what I'm going to close with, brothers and sisters, because this commandment is intended to cultivate in us a heart of submission to rightful authority and ultimately, real life is found, full life is found only in submission to the Lord. There's a wonderful incident in the seventh chapter of Luke's gospel. there was a centurion. Remember I was saying earlier that this commandment is really calls to mind the military and submission to authority. There was a centurion, a Roman officer. He was had command of 100 men. That's why it's called a centurion. And his servant, valued servant, was sick and dying. And some of the Jews who knew him went to Jesus and said, there's this man, he's a Roman, he's a centurion, he's a good man. He gave money to build our synagogue. And his treasured servant is sick, will you come and heal him? So Jesus went to heal the sick servant. But as he was going, the centurion sent someone out to meet Jesus. And through the messenger, the centurion said to Jesus, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. And I know that you don't really have to. I know that if you just say the word. Well, let me read you what he said. When Jesus was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed, for I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, Jesus said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Brothers and sisters, be that centurion. He said, I'm a man under authority and I understand authority. And he bent the knee to Jesus. All earthly authority points to his authority. And that's where genuine life begins. Because Jesus gives life to all who will come to him and bend the knee. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this commandment that we're to honor father and mother, that we're to be rightly related to the authority that you have instituted, and most of all, to you. Lord, give each one of us hearts ready, willing, eager to bend the knee to you, because you are the one who lifts us up. Lifts us up to be all that you created us to be. So forgive our resentment of authority. Forgive our chafing against authority. And lead us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, as we seek to honor our parents today, whether they're living in this world or with you. May we truly honor them. And I pray it in your holy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.